Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario is pretty much the same. Folks are polite, there's a hockey game that evening, and someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show. Ready to go.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Mocha.
Yeah.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Let's do the news!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
Jenna Ortega was talking to Jimmy Fallon on what she would like for season two of Wednesday. Because if you remember earlier in the week, there was an interview where Jenna was talking about how she fought so hard to maintain the integrity of the Wednesday character that she was changing the script like on the fly on the show and then going and arguing with the writers. And it turns out that her instincts were bang on as far as the sort of way that she wanted to take Wednesday. So here's what Jenna wants for season two.
Do you have any idea where you're going to go this season at all?
I don't know. I think we just started getting a writer's room together and kind of talking about it. And everyone's being really cool. I think we want to up kind of the horror aspect a little bit and then get Wednesday out of the romantic situation and just let her be her own individual and fight her own crime.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I fully agree. Don't turn it into Riverdale because it's not Riverdale. Wednesday's cooler when she has absolutely no interest in anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna Ortega is hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. And nice. The musical guest is the 1975. With Saturday Night Live, the post-production editors behind SNL are ready to strike, and they've set an April 1st deadline. So these are the ones who cut all of the, like, digital shorts.
Sure.
Right? All the post-production guys. Barring an agreement with NBC, the 12 to 20 member editing crew have announced that they intend to halt work and disrupt the show. The sticking points remain notably around the issue of health benefits. They also say that members of the SNL editing team are paid rates far lower, they say, than industry standards. NBC has committed to closing in on the negotiations by the end of the month. In the nearly 50-year history of Saturday Night Live, this series has never before seen a targeted strike that is show specific before in the 50 years. This will be the first. The writer's strike affected everybody when that happened.
But this is
the,
like,
first SNL specific strike.
Huh. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Finally, sticking with the Met Gala, this may be the year because Anna Wintour is paring down the guest list, and they say that this year, people who may not make the cut are the entire Kardashian-Jenner family.
What?
Can you believe that? Yes.
There's no way. They make way too much
news. That's the story.
On those carpets.
That's the story, yeah.
No, there's no way.
But do you think maybe, it can't be because they make too much news. Because last year, the Met Gala with the Marilyn Monroe dress, that was the only story at the Met Gala, right?
Like, is it because they then turn into the only story of the Met Gala?
No, but going with what Roz said, maybe she doesn't want this to become, maybe she wants to focus it more on the theme and everybody's fashion versus controversy.
Yo, they should just let regular folk like us do the carpet.
Can I wear
show up in like baller outfits?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I'll show up in like a Louis tracksuit.
Yeah. No.
I'll wear my Wranglers.
No, no. The theme this year is thongs.
Hey.
If I'm not mistaken.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
Way to ruin a joke, Maury. Come on, man. What is the matter with you? Maury knows one thing about one thing, and then I can't do a joke.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Netflix has edited the blundered joke from Chris Rock's special. Remember when he screwed up Emancipation with concussion and all that stuff? So they edited that. So the version that is up there now, I don't know whether they took the whole joke out or they just cleaned it up or what they did, but they made the edit and according to insider sources who were talking to Entertainment Tonight, Will Smith has not watched the Chris Rock special, but they say Will is embarrassed and hurt by what Chris said about him and his family and his Netflix special. He didn't watch it, but he had people tell him what Chris said. They go on to say,
yeah, people in his comments.
They go on to say, it's everywhere you look online and on social media. So Will and Jada have seen the comments about it. They go on to say, Will apologized to Chris and would like Chris to let it go. Will has worked on himself and he is banned from the Oscars for 10 years. He feels like that's enough and wants Chris to move on so that he and everyone else can too. They go on to say Will is upset that Netflix was part of this and thinks Chris insulting Jada again below the belt. And they finish off by saying that he is upset that Netflix gave Chris the platform to share these messages and thinks that it is distasteful. Mm. And according to another source in Chris Rock's camp, they say Chris said everything he wanted to say. He was funny, self-deprecating, and thought-provoking. Now he's ready to move on. So that's the end of that is what it's
9 years
like.
Ago, Will.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I don't know what the hell's going on with Ted Lasso. So earlier in the week, Jason Sudeikis was doing a bunch of interviews saying that Ted Lasso was ending. Like he said, quote, he told Variety, this is the end of the story that we wanted to tell, that we were hoping to tell, that we love to tell. The fact that folks want more and are curious beyond more than what they don't even know yet, that being season 3, is flattering. And then he was talking about doing spinoffs. They asked him, hey, like, what about the Lassoverse? As Mocha said, and he goes, yeah, I think that we've set the table for all sorts of folks to get to watch the further telling of these stories. But that makes it sound like Ted Lasso as a show is done. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody else is coming out going, well, hold on a second here. I don't think Jason Sudeikis really knows what he's talking about. Listen to Hannah Waddingham on Jimmy Fallon last night.
Let's talk about Ted Lasso season 3. You're phenomenal. You are phenomenal in this. And season 3 came out, and I saw Jason was talking about it, and that people are kind of assuming it might be maybe the final season. We don't know.
No, no. What he said, it's like the natural end of a 3-season arc. So there was a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Well, that means
of this. Who? We don't even know. Do you know it's really good that I genuinely don't know? Because they know that otherwise I'll be like,
Yeah. Oh, so it might not be the
final. Might not be.
Oh, okay, good.
We don't know. We genuinely don't know.
I didn't know.
I don't think Jason even knows, to be fair. I think he needs to be in a dark room and just go.
Yeah.
Just for a minute, you know?
To me, this sounds like Jason Sudeikis is negotiating with Apple via the media. That's what that sounds like to me.
Smart move.
If you want me back.
Yeah.
No, that's kind of a trash move for the rest of the cast.
No, because then you let all the fans speak for you.
Yeah.
No,
to me, that's what it sounds like.
That seems kind of dirty to me.
It sounds like they did their 3, and he's like, if you want more, we would like this, and they're holding out, so he's letting
it
be known.
Unless he's doing it for the rest of the cast.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the only one that would benefit, right?
No,
I'm
exactly.
Sure.
Like, he's not, maybe I'm looking at this as him being just selfish, saying if you want me back, as opposed to if you want us back. Because collectively, we all make the show.
Well, it is him. It's his show.
Minus Nate. That's
it's his show. Right? Yeah, minus Nate.
Traitor. After everything they did for you, Nate?
Wow.
And this is what you do?
Wow.
Damn,
that silver hair?
Oh, hey. Hey,
looking
hey,
like
hey.
A,
let's not... let's not silver hair the man here, okay? There's a lot of stuff you can pick on him for before you get to silver hair.
Was that too close to home?
Yeah.
Did you see the way your parents treated you in that one episode?
Ooh.
Right?
Always going to be a loser, Nate. How dare you?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Courtney Cox on an episode of the Gloss Angels podcast talking about how she went a little bit overboard at one time with the face fillers.
You look in the mirror and go, oh, that looks good. You think and you don't realize what it looks like to the outside person. And just doing too many fillers and then having to have them removed, which thank God they are removable. But I think I messed up a lot. Getting older when I was really young, that's just a bummer, a waste of time. It's a domino effect. It's like you don't realize that you look a little off, so then you keep doing more because you look normal to yourself.
Yeah, you just keep doing more and more and more.
Sad.
Right? And you don't look younger, you look older.
And then you just look weird.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Everyone's face transforms into LA, like the same face.
And it looks like a race of people. Like it looks like people who are from some, I don't know, like European country or whatever that you've never been. And they look like that. Like when you see everybody who is that affected, because they all follow the trends, right? So it's like sometimes the face is more pointed at the bottom. That's the trend. Other times it's like high cheek and everything else. And that's the trend. Mm-hmm. And so when you're walking around, you see hundreds of people that look like this and they look like their own race of people.
The nose, everything. Right, the pointy nose.
They all want to look
big lips.
They all want to look identical. Yeah, it's really crazy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Academy Awards last night. Jimmy Kimmel was hosting again for I think his third time. Is that what it was? His third time. Made a couple Will Smith slap jokes. Here's the first one.
If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor. And permitted to give a 19-minute long speech. No, but seriously, the Academy has a crisis team in place. If anything unpredictable or violent happens during the ceremony, just do what you did last year. Nothing. Sit there and do absolutely nothing. Maybe even give the assailant a hug.
That was good, Jimmy. That was good.
And then like 2 hours into the show, he went back to it again.
This point in the show kind of makes you miss the slapping a little, right?
No.
But everybody really went in on Jimmy Kimmel for this quick little bit that he did with Malala, who was in the audience. Malala was the youngest person to ever win the Nobel Prize. In 2012, I think it was, she was trying to go to school. Taliban shot her in the face. Mm-hmm. She managed to get out. Big human rights activist, everything else. And so Jimmy Kimmel's doing like an audience bit where he's talking to people in the crowd. And this is the bit with Malala.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you here and congratulations on your movie. This question is from Joanne Nicolaitis in Brooklyn, New York. She asks, your work on human rights and education for women and children is an inspiration. As the youngest Nobel Prize winner in history, I was wondering, do you think Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine?
Oh, jeez.
I only talk about peace.
Oh.
That's, you know what? That's why you're Malala and nobody else is.
So her answer was, I only talk about peace. And then everybody went in on Jimmy Kimmel. But Malala has like a great sense of humor. And if you don't think that that was set up ahead of time, you're crazy.
Yeah.
First of all, right? So I went back to an interview that Malala had just done with NPR, right? And the interviewer on NPR says, let's say your Nobel Prize came with free concert tickets, but you had to choose between Beyonce and Taylor Swift. Who do you pick? And then she was like, oh, these are really tough questions. And then the NPR reporter says, it could start a war. And then Malala says, so when I was little, I used to sing Love Story together with my friends. And Beyonce, I mean, she's a legend. So I would want both tickets. I have the Nobel Peace Prize. I demand both. Right?
Yeah.
Like she was on, I don't know if you remember it, but when she went on Stephen Colbert, she was like doing card tricks and everything. Like she's a young girl with a great sense of humor. And like, if you don't think that this was a bit, right? So I was convinced it was a bit.
On the red carpet, she talked about how excited she was to see Rihanna.
Yeah. And then, so she retweeted, like quote tweeted the clip from ABC where it was Jimmy Kimmel asking her about this. But what she wrote was, she only wrote this. So she quote tweeted it, the clip of the bit. And then she said, treat people with kindness. That's all she wrote with like a peace sign. So I'm like, was she actually pissed?
Oh.
But they wouldn't have gone to her without saying, hey, we're going to do this thing. Well, we're going to come to you.
100%.
Or do you think it was in response to everyone
Standing
up for her, and she's like,
maybe.
But all the ones Jimmy did after that were awkward as well. Jessica Chastain. So I don't know if he told them, be awkward with me.
Yeah, like I'm sure it was all like, you don't go to somebody in the Academy Awards where it's not completely set up. Like,
can
it's
I just
crazy.
Point out the fact that Jimmy Kimmel here at the beginning, when he's talking to Malala.
Yeah.
Why does he sound like Kermit the Frog? Listen to this.
Great to have you here, and congratulations on your movie.
That's not true. Kermit the Frog.
That's true. No, you're absolutely right.
Great to have you here, and congratulations on your movie.
Now that you say that.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
But let me play you this real quick. Do you have time to do Austin Butler real quick? So I don't know. Where's this Austin Butler, Taylor Swift thing from? W Magazine. So the headline of this is very misleading because we know Austin Butler just did the Elvis movie. Mm-hmm. He's like all into Elvis and singing and everything else. The headline for this is Austin Butler performs a cover of Taylor Swift's Red. Again, Austin Butler performs a cover of Taylor Swift's Red. So here is that clip.
Hi, I'm Austin Butler, and this is going to be my rendition of Red by Taylor Swift. Loving him is like driving a new Maserati down a dead-end street. Faster than the wind, passionate as sin, ending so suddenly. Loving him is like trying to change your mind. Once you're already flying through the free fall, like the colors in autumn so bright, just before they lose it all. Losing him was blue, like I'd never known. Missing him was dark gray, all alone. Forgetting him was like trying to know somebody you never met. But loving him was red. Red, 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 red.
I'm so
all right.
I'm sort of envious of how far up his own ass Austin Butler is. Like, I really am. Like, he's really committed to it. You remember how Johnny Depp was always up his own ass? And you just accepted it like he was just, he had bought into it so much that it just became his personality?
But if that was on the Calm app, everyone would love it.
Sure, but it wasn't, though.
I'm saying, though, if it was, everyone would love that.
But he's so up his own ass.
The headline is very misleading. It's not performing.
No.
Song.
I wish I had the sort of like the I don't know what it is, the sense of self or like ego or like whatever it is to just be like that far up your own ass where you're just like you're cranking out. Like he built this brand around, like he's going for it, right? Like you can't say that Austin Butler isn't going for it and that he's not committed to the bit, right?
You are close though.
Yes. Oh, I'm very close. I know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Surprises, snubs, history, all of that went down at the Academy Awards last night. It's rare that you just see like one film just destroy everything. So Elvis, The Fablemans, Banshees of Inisherin, and Tar all went home empty-handed despite having 30 nominations between them.
Woo!
Right.
That's a lot.
So yeah, so it was all Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I think what was the other one? All Quiet on the Western Front picked up 4. Huge win for Michelle Yeoh and being the first Asian actor to win Best Actress and only, I think, the second woman of color, like in its entirety, to win.
The first, I think, was Halle Berry, right?
To win Best Actress, or as NPR and the Hollywood Reporter say, the first Asian identifying woman to win an Oscar, whatever that means. That's why what's trending right now.
She is Asian,
right? Because the first Asian identifying woman. Anyway, here is the great Michelle Yeoh.
For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight, this is a beacon of hope and possibilities. This is proof that dreams dream big and dreams do come true. And ladies, don't let anybody tell you you are ever past your prime. Never give up. I have to dedicate this to my mom, all the moms in the world, because they are really the superheroes. And without them, none of us will be here tonight.
So great. And Ki-hee Kwan, the crowd favorite, coming in with the best supporting actor.
Thank you. Thank you.
My heart.
My mom is 84 years old, and she's at home watching. Mom, I just want an Oscar.
So beautiful.
My journey started on a boat. I spent a year in a refugee camp. And somehow, I ended up here on Hollywood's biggest stage. They say stories like this only happen in the movies. I cannot believe it's happening to me. This This is the American dream.
That right there is genuine appreciation.
I was reading an article about Kihi Kwan, where when they immigrated from Vietnam in like the late 70s, like they split his family up, like his parents split the family up because it was easier to not get the whole family out. And so he was young, and I think like one or two of his siblings like went somewhere else with like another family member kind of thing, and then they came over, because when he started acting, he was Jonathan Kihi Kwan. Right, because they made him, his agent made him get like Americanize his name, and so it was only a few years ago that he reclaimed his given name that his mom gave him.
Happy for him.
But if you love Michelle Yeoh and Kihi Kwan together, so I just watched a trailer. They got a new Disney Plus series coming out, the two of them. Called American Born Chinese, which is based on a graphic novel that centers around a teenager caught in like this battle with Chinese mythological gods. And it looks awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my God. It looks so good. It looks like Crouching Tiger. Like, it looks crazy, but only like with a high school kid.
Yeah.
Who's like this kid in grade 9 who has to fight these gods.
Okay.
Like, the show looks amazing.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Scream number one at the box office this weekend. A lot of money. Jeez. Was this the biggest opening for a Scream movie, Moore?
It sure was, and it was fantastic. Well deserved.
$44.5 million is what Scream did. I think that the one before that was Scream 2. When that came out in 97, that only made $32 million. Oh, and this is is it the first one without Neve Campbell?
That's right.
That's not a good look. You know what I mean?
Because she put up a fight, right? You
hold out for more money. I mean, actors do that, right? She did the same thing with House of Cards.
She took a gamble.
She did the same thing with Scream. You take a gamble, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't work out, and you're not in the movie, and then they're like, well, it's the biggest opening we've ever had. We don't need you. It becomes ugly at that point, right?
It's two strikes for her now.
Yeah, it's not good. That's not good at all. There's something else I wanted to talk to you about here. Give me one second.
Yes, I'll be the best man at your wedding.
That's not what I was going to ask you at all.
Yes, I'll officiate your wedding.
I don't need that either. Oh. I'm all good on all those fronts. Don't you even worry about it. Why would you think that I would ask you to be my best
friend?
Yes,
man? I'll go suit shopping with you.
I don't need you to go suit shopping with me.
By the way, I changed my mind. I don't want to park cars. I'm willing to do coat check.
Coat check?
Because then at least I'm inside.
Coat check? Maury, I'm getting married in the summer.
Well, then it'll be an easy job for me.
Yes. Yes, you can do coat check.
Let me just do something that requires nothing of me. No problem. No, I don't. I don't remember at all.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I'll be the best man.
I don't need you to be my best man. I'm all distracted and flustered. Look, you made me blush.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, everybody going in on Thames today. Who's Thames? She's a singer, right, Shem?
Yeah, she's a singer.
Okay, see what she wore at the Academy Awards last night?
It's so good.
No, I didn't, actually.
Okay, so she has, her outfit had this giant, almost veil thing, right, that was standing up across the back of her head, and it's huge, right? Okay. It's massive. Normally, when people wear those giant sort of pieces, when they go in the auditorium, they take them off.
Oh, my God.
Okay? But she didn't, and there's so much video of, three people behind her couldn't see the stage.
Girl.
And she just sat there like it was their problem.
Uh-huh. Deal with it. Get a high chair. Look at this. Damn, she looked like a flower. Like full bloom sitting in that auditorium.
That's so rude.
Oh, no.
That's so rude.
Hold on. Yeah. So, directly. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, going all the way back. You're talking 16 people that can't see because
that's
of
so
Thames.
Rude.
Yeah, that's hilarious, though.
Come on now. Academy Awards last night. So we know history was made with historic wins for Michelle Yeoh and Kihi Kwan, along with costume designer Ruth E. Carter becoming the first Black woman to win 2 Oscars and Best Original Song winner Nadu Nadu, making the first victory in the category for an Indian film. Brendan Fraser going into the night was really, really the odds-on favorite to win for The Whale, and that is exactly what happened.
So this is what the multiverse looks like.
My goodness. I thank the Academy for this honor and for our studio, A24, for making such a bold film. And I'm grateful to Darren Aronofsky for throwing me a creative lifeline and hauling me aboard the good ship, The Whale. I started in this business 30 years ago, and things, they didn't come easily to me, but there was a facility that I didn't appreciate at the time until it stopped. And I just want to say thank you for this acknowledgement, because it couldn't be done without my cast. It's been like I've been on a diving expedition on the bottom of the ocean, and the air on the line to the surface is on a launch being watched over by some people in my life, like my sons Holden and Leland and Griffin. Yeah. Thank you again, each one and all. I'm so grateful to you. Good night.
There you go. That's real sweet. And Jamie Lee Curtis winning for Best Supporting Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I know it looks like I'm standing up here by myself, but I am not. I am hundreds of people. I'm hundreds of people. To my family, my beautiful husband, Christopher Guest. Our daughters, Annie and Ruby. My sister Kelly, we just won an Oscar. To all of the people who have supported the genre movies that I have made for all these years, the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, we just won an Oscar together! And my mother and my father were both nominated for Oscars in different categories. I just won an Oscar.
Oh, that's so sweet. Her dad, of course, is... who's her dad? Tony Curtis Moore?
Tony Curtis.
And Janet Leigh.
Janet Leigh from the Psycho movie.
That's right. One of the more funny moments on stage was the sort of reunion of Hugh Grant and Andy McDowell from... What was it? Was it the Weddings one? Four Weddings and a Funeral? Was
that's
that
right.
The movie? Yeah, Four Weddings and a Funeral. So that was years ago, and here is the reunion. Andy McDowell looking dynamite.
Lovely to be here.
It is lovely. We're actually here to do two things. The first is to raise awareness about the vital importance of using a good moisturizer. Andy has been wearing one every day for the last 29 years. I've never used one in my life. Damn. Still stunning. Basically a scrotum.
That's so good. I like that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Drake announced his 28-day arena tour. It is called the It's All a Blur Tour. That's hard to say, man.
It's All a Blur Tour.
As fans will know, this is the first time in, 5 years that Drake has hit the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
No Toronto date yet, but as Mocha pointed out, there's a big gap in the schedule where he would normally do OVO.
Yeah, because he's got Montreal in there. He's got Vancouver in there. And he has Philly, July 31st.
Mm-hmm.
The next date after that is August 12th, Inglewood, California.
Right.
And the weekend that he typically does OVO in Toronto is wide open. So mm-hmm. you can only assume that he's going to be in the city for that. And we'll be putting together the tour or filling out the rest of the show mm-hmm. for that weekend.
And there's no doubt about it. It says right on the website, Toronto dates will be announced soon. It's not like it's not on the list.
No, but it's not. Yeah, exactly. But it will be in that.
Shined a light on
that. Because he has to have pre-booked the venue like year after year after year. And then has to, I'm sure there's some sort of notice period where he says, hey, listen, if I'm not doing it, I will let you know.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that he owns that weekend at that venue. And so it's already booked and it has been booked.
Because I'm sure that if you cancel, you lose your deposit.
I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What would the deposit on that be? Like a couple hundred bucks, right? Like, right? Yeah. Like, you know. He's like, guys, I know it's 48 hours and I'm calling you. It's like 42.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Please, please. I can't lose the deposit. Not this weekend. Bills are stacking up.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Only Only Murders in the Building, the new trailer for Only season three coming out. And Meryl Streep, of course, is the big new star for Only Murders. Here's a little bit of that trailer.
Is this really happening again?
Well, you know, who are we without a homicide?
One of the best shows on television is back.
So are you in?
Yeah. With a surprise you never saw coming.
Oh my God, it's me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, it's me. Isn't it?
Only Murders in the Building.
Shall we begin?
Psyched. I'm so psyched.
Only on Hulu.
There you go.
All Love right. That. Cannot wait.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Let me read this to you, Mocha, and you tell me if it starts to sound familiar. So Playboy's relaunching, like the iconic Playboy magazine, because they haven't done an actual magazine in like 2 years.
Really? Hadn't noticed.
Because they went broke. So they're relaunching as a digital first operation. So instead of the brand signature Playboy bunnies, users will now be able to interact with creators who will post uncensored content on their pages and give subscribers exclusive access into their lives. Their chief brand officer, Rachel Weber, told the New York Post, "Our Playboy Creator Program is the Playboy magazine for the 21st century." They go on to say, "We're putting the power of content creation in the hands of the creative community and giving them the tools to interact and monetize their fan base directly."
So OnlyFans?
So OnlyFans. One major difference between Playboy and OnlyFans is that on OnlyFans, anybody can sign up, where on Playboy, creators have to apply and be accepted by the Playboy editorial team.
Okay.
But everything's going that way. Everything's going
that way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every struggling company should build like an OnlyFans portal on their site. You know what I mean?
Like here?
Blah, blahs.
Oh, look, we're struggling.
yeah. Like anything. Like any company. Any company should do that.
Did you say Loblaws?
Right? Loblaws Toys R Us. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Right?
What, Jeffrey the Giraffe from Toys R Us?
I'm
good.
Like, you know, imagine if Body Shop
on, bro.
Had that. Like, imagine if Body Shop had that, right? Like, you go, is Body Shop still around? I don't even know Body Shop.
Of course they are.
Okay. Right? Like, imagine Body Shop, where, like, you go onto their website. Uh-huh. It's completely normal. Buy, buy, buy. Add to basket. And then you can hit the creator tab.
Yeah.
And what it is like, people like Maury who are just rubbing their products all over their body. Yeah. Like, it's an OnlyFans-type portal for whatever it is. Like, Home Depot, uh-huh. right? Imagine Home Depot had, like, the creator tab where it's just, you know, what?
What? Rub this lumber on my chest. Yeah,
not lumber. Yeah, the tab's just called wood.
Wood on wood.
Oh my God. Stop that. Stop that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Last night at the Leafs game, the singer who came out, Natalie Morris, to do the Star Spangled Banner, her microphone kept cutting out. And everybody at the Scotiabank Arena, all the Canadians, helped her out and finished singing it for her. Listen to this beautiful moment.
Oh, say can you, oh, say can.
Oh, no.
Whose broad stripes.
Oh, it's a nice moment. Do they show the words for the anthem?
Yes.
Okay. So easy stuff.
I think that they would have known it anyway, though.
Huh?
I think people would.
The American one?
Yes, absolutely.
No, that's a tough song.
Yes. It's a tough song to sing.
Listen, shout out to Natalie Morris. I would not have been of any help if I were standing
there. You wouldn't
have been. No, I would have tried. Absolutely, I would have tried. And I'm glad that the words are up there because I would have helped out the best way I could using the words. You mean to tell me if we were in the States, right, and the microphone cut out during O Canada, guaranteed nobody in any arena in the U.S. would be able to sing the Canadian national anthem.
Of course not. But I think that even without the words being on the Jumbotron, and are we sure that they were there?
Yes, because I saw a TikTok where somebody was like, look, the words are there.
I guarantee you that even without the words, the fans would have done the exact same thing.
Well, good for them. Better fans than me.
It's emotional.
It is. I thought so, too.
It's great. No, of course. I'm just saying it. If I were in that situation, I would not have been of any help to Natalie Morris.
Right. I think your heart speaks and you start singing. Like, I honestly think that
to sing the right words. You can't just sing anything.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful if she's doing the Star Spangled Banner and you start doing Kid Rock. you can't do that. Right?
Sing my own
just
song.
Just sing anything. that has to be the worst, though, Shem? I mean, she's in front of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Microphone cuts out,
man.
That has to be like the nightmare come true, right?
Well, yeah, because then you hope people don't think that like you screwed up. You know what I mean? And it's awful. That's terrible. Yeah.
I got to go to this Vegas Golden Knights player, Pavel Dorofeyev. So young guy, new in the league, never scored a goal. Gets his first goal last night.
Off his
face.
What do you mean off of his face?
Off his face.
Boom. Rebound. They score. Somehow it got in. Not sure if Dorofeyev knocked it in or not. It'll be his first in the NHL.
I think it goes off of Jordan Binnington and comes back and hits Dorofeyev off of the head and into the net. I mean, that's a different way of using your head to score a goal, John.
And the young Russian Dorofeyev, the 22-year-old, gets his first NHL goal off his mask.
Oh, no. Right? Yeah. You get to keep the puck, though, right?
Yes, yeah, of course he did. It's his first goal, even if it was off his face.
Oh, no.
Right? Yeah. Never, Maury, have you ever had anything bounce off your face that was as important as this guy's goal?
Oh, but I'm still young. Any day now.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
All right. Who's been watching Farmer Wants a Wife? Anybody?
No.
Have you seen this?
Sorry, what?
What?
The farming dating show where they're trying to find farmers' wives.
What?
So there's, first of all, there's two, you know, like every now and then, like when a new show comes around, like another new show that's the exact same show as that show also comes around.
All right.
So don't confuse Farmer Wants a Wife with Farming for Love, which is the Canadian version of the show. So I had no idea, but Farmer Wants a Wife is like one of the most popular reality dating shows on planet Earth.
More so than MILF Manor.
More so than MILF Manor. Let me play a little bit of the trailer here.
The world's biggest dating show. 35 countries, 180 weddings, and over 400 babies has arrived.
Who is ready to fall for a farmer?
What do we think of Oklahoma?
It looks very abandoned.
Finding true love for me, it's now I have a partner. Someone who not only do I have their back, but they've got mine.
She definitely got my attention.
Oh my gosh, there's poop on my hand.
She's a hoot, I'll say that.
I get to meet more girls in one day than I've met in the last 5 years.
Morning, ladies. It's a little overwhelming having all the ladies at once. It's a big adjustment.
Okay.
Well, yeehaw, partner, giddy up.
Yeah, thank you. Amazing. And a lot of people, because everybody's like, hey, listen, because of the popularity of Yellowstone and everything else, this is the best time to bring this show back. So this debuted in like 2001.
How have we never heard of this before?
So in 2008, they did a version of it on the CW. But the actual show, Farmer Wants a Wife, it follows four farmers, right? So it's four farmers on different farms, and then they each get like eight potential mates who go and live with them and find out what farming life is and everything else. When the CW took this show years ago, they made it like The Bachelor, where they had one farmer, and then they just had all these women. And it tanked, hard because the original format is what people love. They love all the sort of living on the farm with these four different farmers. And so that's what they brought back, and people are loving the show.
Dating a farmer would be awesome because they know responsibility.
Right? They know everything, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Did you see the pictures of the Maury?
Yes, I did.
Hot farmers?
Like all of them except the guy that has that weird sort of mustache where the mustache is connected to the goatee. Wasn't a fan of that. But all the other farmers are very hot.
What do you mean where the mustache is connected to the goatee?
Where it's like a circle around your mouth.
Isn't that just called a goatee?
Well, it's connected to the mustache.
Yeah.
Is the goatee just the bottom part?
Yes.
Or is the goatee the whole thing?
The goatee's just the bottom part.
So he has it in like a straight, like, just, straight circle?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a circle.
No,
it's not like, a target.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like a circle, like your glasses.
It's just like a regular goatee. Like
yeah, yeah. Okay.
It just looks like a regular goatee. Anyway, so you may be confused with Farmer Wants a Wife and Farming for Love because there's suddenly two shows about trying to.
Wait, but Farming for Love is also on different farms?
Farming for Love is coming to Canada this summer.
So it is the same show, but it's like Bachelor and Bachelor Canada, right? Yeah. So it's the Canadian version of Farmer Wants a Wife.
But are they all in, where are they?
The
in
farmer,
Alberta?
So
like all in-
Farming for Love is in, I think, BC and Ontario, maybe Alberta. I'm not 100% sure. Farmer Wants a Wife is all over America.
Oklahoma
and this kind of thing. Anyway. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Pauly Shore, I feel my heart breaks for Pauly Shore, man, because he is literally one of the nicest dudes ever and has just done so much for so many people.
Buddy.
He's just always kind. So at the Academy Awards the other night, Kihi Kwan and Brendan Fraser were both nominated, right? And mm-hmm. Jimmy Kimmel goes up and does this joke because they all starred in a movie together years ago with Pauly Shore. But listen to the punchline of this joke.
This is, I think, a great piece of Oscar trivia. 31 years ago in 1992, Brendan Fraser and Kihi Kwan were in a movie together. Remember which movie it was? Encino Man. Two actors from Encino Man are nominated for Oscars. Okay. What an incredible night this must be for the two of you, and what a very difficult night for Pauly Shore.
Oh, right?
Poor Pauly Shore.
Like
that wasn't even
so much,
home.
Yeah, that's not even so much a punchline as it just is like just saying something so sad, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, because Pauly Shore has been very open about how he felt that he was pushed down in Hollywood and all this stuff. So Pauly Shore, again, much like Ashley Graham taking the high road, so he put this on Instagram. I don't know if you guys saw the Oscars last night, but Jimmy Kimmel poked fun at me in his monologue. If you haven't checked it out, watch the clip. Very funny. I really loved it. But what I really loved is that my old buddies from back in the day, Brendan Fraser and Kihi Kwan, took home the Oscars. What a story. I mean, really, guys, what a story. And then he goes on to say this: if we can all learn something from this, never quit on your dreams, keep dreaming, work hard, and put in the time. And if your stars line up and you're in the entertainment business, one day Hollywood will hit you in the head with the pixie dust like it did for Brendan and Key. Have fun, guys.
Oh,
like,
Pauly
Shore.
Mean?
Like, just like my heart.
I feel like giving that man a hug right now.
I know.
Damn.
The
Roz and Mocha Show
podcast. The Weeknd. Weeknd winning big at the Junos last night, which actually puts the Weeknd now in a tie with Bryan Adams for the second most Juno wins of all time, taking home album, artist, songwriter, and single of the year. However, Weeknd not showing up to the big show, and when they were handing out album of the year, you could hear the fans' reaction to that.
The Juno for album of the year goes to Dawn FM,
The Weeknd.
Fortunately, The Weeknd couldn't be here tonight, but with this win tonight, I know.
Oh, man.
Listen, this is a fun fact. With this win tonight, The Weeknd is in second place for the most Juno wins ever. I'm going to accept this award on his behalf. He'll have to come get it at my house.
Wow.
He's also set a record for most amount of times not showing up to the Junos.
Jeez. Now, we know he doesn't do the Grammys either, right? But I don't know. Just like,
what's your beef
people
with the
just
Junos?
Take it a whole lot.
He's been
I
to
know,
the Junos before.
He has, yeah, but people just take it so personally. Right? Mm-hmm. Like when you're a big Canadian star and you don't show up to the Junos, oof.
But has he not been more than he's won? Yes. Or than that he's accepted?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean,
were you too good for us?
But
you too good for Edmonton?
Been there. Shawn Mendes wasn't there last night.
No. Hold on. With Drake, I can understand Drake's frustration. I could be wrong here. But there was one year they clowned Drake so hard.
Yeah.
And it was the year that Drake hosted and was nominated multiple times, and he did not win an award.
Yep.
Like, if I were Drake, I'd be like, yo, that's dirty right there.
I don't know if anybody has ever screwed up a relationship more with an awards show than the Juneians did with Drake. That was, like, unforgivable.
Absolutely.
Unforgivable.
Yeah, I'm Team Drake on that one.
And I know, hey, listen, it's all voted on, and maybe it was legit, but you don't do that. Like, you can't have Drake, especially when he was already blowed up. He had already exploded at that point, right?
Oh, completely.
I mean, he's not who he is now, but he was already Drake at that point.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right to have him on there. The other big moment from the awards show was Avril Lavigne was on stage doing an introduction, and a topless protester jumped on stage, and then Avril had to tell her to call her the B word and said, get the F off my stage. Oh, yeah.
With sold out shows in Canada, the U.S. Get the f*** off.
Oh.
Get the f*** off,
oh.
He has sold out shows in Canada.
Oh no! So who was a protester?
So she was protesting. It was the Greenbelt and Landback, I think, was the two organizations that she was there for.
She had it written on her arm, Landback.
Yeah, and she had a Save the Greenbelt written on the small of her back, I believe it was. But like, she just strolled up there, and it took security. Like, it took somebody a long time to go up and get her.
Because,
like,
I guess if somebody's topless, you have to be careful how you grab them to push them off the stage.
No, it's not that they were up there not touching her. There was nobody up there. This woman walked on stage, and it was her and Avril Lavigne. And Avril Lavigne only acknowledged her after security was up there. And this woman was up there for a long time. And I think in the video at some point, because her boobs were out, but she had like stickers over her nipples, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the videos I saw, it either looks like Avril taps or flicks one of her boobs as she's telling her to get off the stage.
Such an Avril thing to do.
Oh, that's great. Oh, no. No security.
If you watch that whole clip, like, it took one guy forever to walk up on that stage.
Did they only have one security guard for the entire show?
I don't know.
They think Canadians are that nice?
Canada's
not going to cause
this
any problems.
This didn't look like venue security. This looked like... Avril security.
Yeah, like, it just looked like somebody. Like, it was really wild. And even then, when they took her down, like, they didn't... It was nothing forceful, and as Maury said, it's very difficult to handle a protester who has no shirt on, right?
Will you please leave the stage?
Yes, that's pretty much what it was like.
Will you please just go back to your seat and enjoy the rest of the show?
Yeah, and then one hand sort of like not touching the small of her back, but just like making sure.
If you're watching live, because I was watching on TV, they kept zooming in really close to Avril to try and not show the protester as well at some points.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, but it took a while.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Academy Awards, as far as ratings go, 18.7 million people watched it on the Monday night. Was it Monday night or Sunday night?
Sunday.
And although that sounds like an impressive number, it is up from the previous year. But remember back in 2001, it went down to 9.8 million people, right? And I think they were hoping for a bigger number because this is one of those weird years where most people had seen a lot of the movies, like Everything Everywhere All at Once made $100 million. Avatar was there. Top Gun was there. Like, there was a lot of big movies. But still, 18.7 million. I forgot about this, that the Academy Awards for years were always the second most watched television program of the year, right behind the Super Bowl, right? The second most.
Oh,
wow. And until 2018, the Academy Awards had never dipped below 30 million people. You want to know what their high mark was? The most watched Academy Awards? Give me a year and a movie. Give me a year and a movie. 55 million people tuned in to watch this one.
God, it's gonna be one that from a year I wasn't even born in.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You were very much born.
I'm gonna go Titanic, 97.
Yes, 98.
Oh, really?
98. Okay.
55 million people watched.
Wow.
Was it for Titanic?
That's when Titanic won. Yeah, the year that it cleaned up everything. But here is Jimmy Kimmel on his show last night doing a sort of postmortem on a lot of the controversy and the sort of behind the scenes things of the Academy Awards.
It's an interesting setup of the Oscars because everybody's crowded together basically in an abandoned shopping mall. You know, they clear out the mall over there, And everyone's there wearing donated clothes. Most of them haven't eaten in days. It's like a very upscale hurricane shelter. Beginning of the show, I parachuted down from the ceiling, which sounded like a fun idea until I was actually up in the ceiling, lolling around 50 feet in the air with my testicles tucked up to my nipples. We had a donkey, a live donkey, Jenny the donkey from the Banshees of Inisherin, which that was our emotional support donkey. But then that stirred up some controversy. The LA Times said, no, that wasn't really Jenny, the donkey from the Banshees of Inisherin. I have to say, it's true. It wasn't Jenny. It wasn't even a female donkey. The donkey's name is Dominic. It was a male donkey. We didn't think it was a good idea to fly a donkey over from Ireland. So we hired an L.A. donkey. Maybe you noticed, like, the lip fillers and the implants, but...
Hi, Kim, I see you.
Everybody just going in on everything. That's not the donkey! Okay, cool. Right? Fine. Yeah, you're right. You got us. It's not the donkey. What else? There was something else I wanted to do here. Give me 1 second. I don't remember what it was. Sing something for me, Shem, while I look up, trying to figure out what I missed.
You are my fire, the one desire, belief. Mm-hmm. When I say... Roz will remember what he needs to say one day.
But not now.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Could the feud between Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan finally be over? It's looking like it is.
What were they beefing over again?
Oh, I'll get to all that.
Because I can't even remember.
So there's a lot. So Lindsay just announced that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Yay! Lohan, we go right? Lindsay Lohan. Yes.
With her husband, Bader Shamas. Mm-hmm. So she posted just a shot of like a baby onesie on Instagram with a caption "coming soon" written over it and saying, we are very excited for our new family member to arrive and we are looking forward to this next chapter in our lives. And then Paris wrote, congratulations, love. So happy for you. Welcome to the mommy club. So it's looking aww. Like the ladies have grown. Paris has the new book out. We'll get into that a little bit later. But years ago, it was like 2000 and something when one of Paris Hilton's friend named Brandon Davis was doing an interview and he made the joke where he referred to Lindsay Lohan. That's where Fire Crotch started. And then Lindsay laughed. And then Lindsay then shamed Paris Hilton about her sex tape, saying obviously she's very comfortable making videos. And then in 2018, Paris said that she didn't trust Lindsay Lohan, calling her bad vibes. But it really all started in 2006. And there's a very famous picture to go along with this, which was Paris Hilton was out with Britney Spears and they were at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the night, they went to leave. And Lindsay Lohan apparently chased after them and tagged along, and they were running through the paparazzi, and there's the shot of the three of them in a car together. And it was originally supposed to be Paris Hilton and Britney Spears leaving together, but apparently mm-hmm. Lindsay Lohan chased after them and jumped in the car with them, and Paris was like, yo, this is a two-seater. Like, there's not even a seat for you in here.
Uh-huh.
And Paris said the only reason she let her stay in the car was because she didn't want to humiliate her in front of the paparazzi. Otherwise, she would have kicked her out. So that's how it all started, was that they felt that Lindsay Lohan was, like, tagging along.
She's an awkward third wheel.
She was awkward third wheel. That's how it all started.
Man.
You can find the picture, too. The picture is very famous of the three of them all squeezed into a tiny little car.
Oh, damn.
But anyway, congratulations to Lindsay Lohan. Have it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So Thames, the singer who was nominated for her work on Lift Me Up at the Academy Awards from Black Panther Wakanda Forever, she's the one that wore the giant white puffy veil in the auditorium where nobody behind her could see.
Literally nobody.
So she reposted that outfit on one social media platform, and all she wrote in the caption was, oops.
Yeah.
And then she put it up on Instagram, and all she captioned it was, uh-oh.
Good for
so,
her.
Because she took a lot of heat for that, man. A lot of heat for that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Marvel is closing in on the source of the Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania leak.
So
the script leaked. This was one of those movies where the script leaked. So a federal judge in California earlier this week issued subpoenas for Reddit and Google, directing them to notify the users who leaked the dialogue. So Marvel's likely to pursue hardcore litigation against the person. And now they're on the hunt for who the actual person is, because this wasn't just Ant-Man and the Wasp. This was also Shang-Chi. This was also No Way Home, and this was also Doctor Strange.
Somebody
within Marvel is leaking dialogue, like leaking scripts.
Full script.
And this is now the fourth time this has happened.
Here's the thing. I'm a Marvel fan, right? Huge.
Yeah.
Watch every single movie.
Yeah.
I'm not that big of a fan where I'm going to sit at my computer and read an entire script.
People do.
That kind of time? To go through hundreds and hundreds of pages for the Marvel movie?
Yes.
For a Marvel movie?
And then what people do is they pull out select parts and then they get reposted.
Secrets and stuff. Yeah, sure.
That's why you would
sit there and read through the script to find spoilers, right? Ruin it for everyone else.
Right, because that's what people enjoy, right? There's no greater joy in this world than ruining something for others.
I guess.
Right, Maury?
I was going to say that's you.
Shut up.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, there's a new show coming to Apple TV Plus with it's the sort of reunion again for the third time with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey.
Third time?
Yeah, third time.
Why do I not know any of the three times? Oh, wait. They were in a TV show together?
Yes, they were.
What was that TV show they were in together?
True Detective.
That's what it was. Yes.
Yes.
What else were they in?
Come on.
Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
I'm also drawing a blank, too.
Ed TV.
Never seen it.
Never saw it.
You never saw Ed TV?
No. What is that?
Ed TV came out like in and around when The Truman Show came out, which is they were television producers looking to put a reality show together where they wanted to film somebody's life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And so they went to this town to do auditions. And Woody Harrelson is Matthew McConaughey's older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he really, really wants it. But they wind up going with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh,
And so Matthew McConaughey, because he's Ed. And then so it's just called Ed TV, where people watch his life 24 hours a day. It's a rom-com.
Oh,
it's great.
Okay.
You never saw Ed TV?
Never.
You never saw Ed TV, Maury?
No. Or The Truman Show.
Yeah, Ed TV. I loved Ed TV. I mean, The Truman Show is great, but Ed TV is funny as hell.
So what are they doing now?
No. The premise is this. Basically, Woody and his family are going to move in with Matthew and his family on Matthew's Texas ranch.
Oh, no.
Okay. And they did say this, is that they will be playing, quote, versions of themselves. So I don't think this is going to be pure reality. I think that it will be scripted hijinks reality.
Okay, sure.
Doesn't so Woody they, smoke a lot of weed?
Doesn't Matthew smoke a lot of weed?
Oh, I'm going to be high as hell on the show.
That reminds me of the Suite Life with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie.
Was that Surreal Life?
Surreal Life. That's what it is.
Yeah. I think something like Suite Life
with Zach and Cody. Them boys never smoke weed.
They're describing it as a heartfelt, odd couple love story revolving around the strange and beautiful bond between Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. So that is coming to Apple TV Plus at some point. I don't know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Bryan Cranston on with Jimmy Fallon last night, where Jimmy brings up a piece of memorabilia that is for sale from the Breaking Bad set.
A pair of Walter White's underwear went up for auction.
Oh, I heard about
for $32,000. I should mention, these were never worn.
Those were never worn. The ones that are soiled go for much higher.
Come on now.
Is that wild?
I wish I didn't say that.
Yeah, no. Could you imagine 30,000?
Who? I mean, people are crazy.
Yeah.
Who in their right mind is buying a pair of tidy whitey underwears for 30 grand? Oh.
Sorry, I didn't. It didn't go through in my Venmo yet, but it's close. Venmo. Yeah.
All right.
It's Venmo.
$32,000.
Also, he says underwears.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Those.
Have you guys been watching season 2 of Cranston's show, Your Honor?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
HBO.
No, I'm waiting for it to all be there so I can watch it all at once.
Same.
To me, I watched episode 1 and I was like, you know what? I'm not waiting around every week for this.
Thank you.
I will enjoy it more.
Jenna and I said the exact same thing.
I will enjoy it more once they're all there.
No, this one, it's worth the wait because they're kind of slow. Like it's a slower show.
I can't do that all together. No. I don't have to. I watched because I really quite enjoyed season one, mm-hmm. and
it was great.
It was really
with that one with Jen and I. We binged. We waited. Same thing. We watched like a couple of episodes week after week, and yeah. I was like, nah, I kind of want to watch all at the same time. So waited, binged the rest. Watched season two when they episode one of season two, and same thing. Yeah. We were like, you know what? We're gonna wait till all the episodes are out, and I believe. This Sunday is going to be the finale for this season.
Really? Huh?
Yeah.
Out of all the things that are available to watch right now, I know you got Mandalorian and you got all this other stuff coming out. I will say this. When Cocaine Bear becomes available for you to watch, everything else on your schedule and watch it. Cocaine Bear is the most enjoyable movie I have seen in years.
Good. I can't wait. You know, I told Jenna, Jenna thought 2 days ago that I was trolling her when I was telling her about this story about Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
She didn't believe me. And I had to text her the trailer. I was like, no, this is a real, she's like, there's no way this is real. I said, no, this is a real movie.
Is it a true story?
Well, yeah, but cocaine did go into a forest. That's a true story. And a guy did die who was trying to deliver the cocaine from an airplane. But that's really as far as it went. They suspected maybe there was a bear involved, but the bear would have likely died shortly after.
Right? Not going on a murderous rampage like the movie.
Not going on a murderous rampage. But I will say it is so enjoyable.
Yeah?
It is the most enjoyable movie I have seen in like years.
Okay. And you never say that.
I never say that. It's so funny that when a funny thing happens and then you're in another part of the movie that's not funny, you start laughing again at the thing you just watched. Like you're laughing at jokes twice.
Somebody just texted the Roz and Mocha text line and said, Cocaine Bear, available to rent already.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you.
My afternoon, my Rogers on demand, I'm paying that money. I'm paying that money for Cocaine Bear.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Penn Badgley, I had no idea, actually auditioned for Breaking Bad.
What?
Yeah. Listen to this.
I heard this story that you auditioned once for Breaking Bad.
Yeah, actually, I mean, now that it's become a little bit of a topic of public interest, I'm like, so I went out for Breaking Bad, and in my memory, Aaron and I were testing against one another for the role of Jesse, and you know that's great. Like Aaron, he killed that role. It was obviously his. And we that year or the years prior, we'd been going out for things together.
You went out for the same roles?
Yeah, like we would, you know, when you're coming up in Hollywood, you test for things. You know what this is like?
I never made it that far to test for.
Sure. Well, yeah, well, one day,
I auditioned
one day
for
when
things.
You get there, you're gonna find.
But then you're like, get out of my face, loser! And I go, all right.
But yeah, but this was the best script for television that I'd ever read.
Really?
And actually, after I didn't get it, I thought, all right, great, that's fine, but. I think I don't know if I can do any more TV. Like that was the one.
Really?
You know? And now I've been working for nearly 20 years since in television.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
I mean, could you imagine Penn Badgley as Jesse Pinkman?
No.
You know what?
I can't imagine anyone else as Jesse Pinkman.
I could imagine Penn Badgley as Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah.
And if things worked out that way, I could also imagine Jesse Pinkman playing the role of Joe in You.
No, I can't do character. Either. Can't do
I
either.
Could see them swapping, and I could
really?
See it working
huh?
out. Yeah.
See, I cannot at all.
But Aaron Paul just like killed it in that role. That there's no replacement. But if it worked out where Penn Badgley got it, I could see him doing that role.
Really, huh? Absolutely. Interesting.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Gwyneth Paltrow is at it again. Anytime Gwyneth Paltrow does anything, people go in on Gwyneth Paltrow. I happen to find Gwyneth Paltrow to be completely endearing in all her weirdness. But she was doing a podcast called The Art of Well-Being, and everybody started calling her an almond mom, or like the ultimate almond mom. Almond moms is a term used for like women who push their disordered eating onto their children. Right. So here is, it's so rude. So this is Gwyneth Paltrow from The Art of Well-Being, where she's being labeled as completely out of touch and insufferable. This is Gwyneth Paltrow sort of like going through her regular day of how she maintains everything that is Gwyneth Paltrow.
What's your wellness routine look like now?
I eat dinner early in the evening. I do a nice intermittent fast. I usually eat something about 12. And in the morning, I'll have some things that won't spike my blood sugar, right? So I have coffee, but I really like soup for lunch. I have bone broth for lunch a lot of the days. Try to do 1 hour of movement. So I'll either take a walk, or I'll do Pilates, or I'll do my Tracy Anderson. And then I get in the sauna. I dry brush and I get in the sauna. So I do my infrared sauna for 30 minutes. And then for dinner, I try to eat, you know, according to paleo. So lots of vegetables. It's really important for me to support my detox.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah.
And like everything except for the sauna.
Like bone broth's awesome.
I've had bone broth before. Coffee in the morning sounds normal.
Sure.
Vegetables.
But her whole thing with, and it's weird because Gwyneth Paltrow is still onto the detox thing. Because remember the last time was like her salad that she released, a detox salad, and people were like, "What? That's just a regular salad, man."
Yeah.
Like there's nothing
salmon,
in there.
It was like salmon, I think, right?
It was like salmon, yeah. But like every health professional in the world, every single one of them have all said that a detox diet is both irrational and unscientific, right? But yet here she is still on it. This is the one though that is lighting people up. So Gwyneth Paltrow sitting on this show, The Art of Well-Being, okay? Gwyneth Paltrow is doing this interview while sitting there with an IV in her arm. Listen to this.
What? As we're recording this right now, you have a little IV, so which is so on brand for both of us. We pod and IV at the same time.
I'm really embarrassing myself right here.
People want to ask about IVs.
I love an IV. I'm an early IV adopter. Glutathione, I love to have in an IV. Kind of a random, more fringy one. Phosphatidylcholine, that's my favorite IV when I can find them. They're quite hard to find.
Yeah.
And those make me feel so good. But this today, just because I was flying, I have just a bag of good old-fashioned vitamins.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So then herself?
So then everybody started saying that Gwyneth Paltrow is too rich to swallow vitamins.
Shout out to that glutathione.
Right?
What is she talking about? What is this nonsense?
No, I don't know. And no, Maury, I'm sure that she has somebody there who administers the IV for her. Other people saying, you know, what is she detoxing from? She doesn't eat. People commenting on her looks a lot. But again, like I find Gwyneth Paltrow to be completely endearing. And it is the most Gwyneth Paltrow thing to sit on a show talking about wellness while you're getting an IV.
Is the most Gwyneth Paltrow thing. But the IV thing, I don't know. I'll never understand.
I'll say that Matthew's done vitamin IV thing before, like a couple of times or whatever. He says he feels absolutely amazing after. So
sure. But also, you can just take vitamins, right? I mean, I know you're not mainlining them, right? But I don't know.
Shout out to glutathione,
right? What are those things that they found in Jedi's? What are they, midichlorians?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I need to up my midichlorian intake. Can I get that in drip form?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A lot of Drake fans real pissed off. So Drake tickets went on sale, right? And it was a Cash App presale, which is like a whole other thing. It was like a general presale before the general presale happened. But fans were promised tickets starting at $69.50. And so they had to get this Cash App card, which is essentially a debit card connected to their Cash App balance. And as soon as they got the card, those $69 tickets were suddenly $400 and $500 tickets. Right?
So the tickets for for Vancouver and Montreal haven't gone on sale. They're going on sale today. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
So yesterday, do you know who The Cure are, Mocha? Like 80s sort of
I've heard of
whatever
them.
Band, right?
I couldn't tell you a song, but I've heard this
so
band.
Yeah, so they're touring and they had their fans up in arms yesterday as well, but for a different reason. So dynamic pricing is the thing that everybody goes in on Ticketmaster for, which is a supply and demand. Mm-hmm. That's when you start seeing $4,000 and $5,000 tickets in like those platinum packages, right?
Yeah.
And so what he said, the guy named Robert Smith from The Cure said yesterday, was he wanted to make it clear to fans. And that is when you see dynamic pricing on Ticketmaster, Ticketmaster cannot independently attach dynamic pricing. The artist has to agree. So it's not Ticketmaster doing it. It's the artist doing
it. Oh, I believe
it. So they went and said, okay, we're not going to do dynamic pricing and we're going to keep ticket sales super low. So they started selling $20 tickets for their show.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay. And then a fan posted after going on Ticketmaster to buy $20 tickets. They bought four tickets, $80 for four tickets to a concert.
Great.
And attached to that was a $46 service fee, a $40 facility fee, and a $5.50 processing fee. So the tickets were $80 and they paid $91.50 in service charges.
Oh, that ain't right, man. No, that's not fair. In the day and age we live in, you should be able to go online, buy your online tickets, and just pay the price that you see listed online.
Yes.
Going so back to this Drake, It's All Blur tour, right? So I'm looking at tickets that are on sale right now for the New Orleans show, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Home of Lil Wayne. You would assume Lil Wayne's going to show up to that concert, right?
Yeah.
Nosebleeds, guys. Section 314, 11th row in, right? $400.
Yeah.
Those are nosebleeds.
Yes, yeah.
$400.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they were saying, that the worst tickets that these people could find on the pre-sale, the worst tickets they could find were $500.
It's pretty much what we'd spent for Madonna tickets.
Yeah, but...
But are you in the nosebleeds?
We're in, like, the top of the second section.
So not nosebleeds. Yeah. Like, so not first nosebleeds. Row in the nosebleeds is $500. And this is before all of those service fees that you had just mentioned for that other concert, right?
Yes.
That's $500 before all of that, before taxes. Like, it's crazy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Ryan Reynolds just came out a huge winner yesterday. So he was part owner of Mint Mobile, and Mint Mobile was sold to T-Mobile for $1.35 billion. Ryan Reynolds' stake in that is roughly $300 million.
Oh,
a lot of people say they made the sale because of the rumors that Ryan has partnered with Toronto developers, the Remington Group, to purchase the Ottawa Senators. So this may be step one in that master plan. I know, dude, but he will remain on as their creative director, although they sold the company. So there's that.
Listen, make that money, bro.
Bro, right?
Anything to make that money.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Record numbers of Gen Z couples are moving in together, but are they doing it for love or are they doing it for money?
Oh, money.
Money.
So more than 11% of people aged 18 to 24 lived with a romantic partner who is not a spouse last year. That is about 3.2 million people in the United States, roughly 650,000 more people than before the pandemic. And the survey found that, yes, money was the main factor behind the decision to move in together for 80%. Of Gen Zs, about one in four of the total respondents said living with a partner allowed them to save more, and it was only because of the money.
Yeah, of course.
Is that ever the right decision, though?
No, but guess what? The rent is just too damn high. That guy that said a few years ago, he knew it. He knew it back then. It was high back then.
That's true. No, you're right.
That
you're
quote
right.
Still resonates right now. The rent is
words,
just too damn high.
It's only a matter of time before we all live together, guys.
And that guy became a meme, too. You know what I mean? But, like, you're right. Truer words. Maury, you're married.
I know, but for the money, right?
I'm not moving in with you and your husband.
And Shem and Mocha.
We're no.
Well, what about all of our families?
Yeah, what about my family?
Big house.
Man, you can't afford... Oh, I'm sorry, you can't afford to live with me.
You couldn't afford to live with me. You couldn't afford to live with me. I would bleed you dry.
Yeah, I think that.
There's nothing left.
Yeah, I would bleed you dry if you lived with me. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Niall Horan. So apparently Niall Horan is a beauty influencer now.
What?
So, yeah, exactly.
Well, he's got good skin.
He's not singing
anymore?
He
does have
great skin. No, he is. Yeah, he just came out with a new album.
He is. Yeah. So, you know, this is like a side piece. No, what is that called? Side hustle.
Hustle.
Yep. Very different.
Don't put it out there. The headline reads, Niall Horan got a side piece. Who is she?
Sorry. That's what I get. I'm confused. Do you know what I mean? So he did something with Vogue where they do their sort of like a beauty tip series. And they were like, hey, Niall, come on in and lay it out for us. Like, what is your sort of beauty routine, Niall Horan? And so he sits down with Vogue and he lays out his daily beauty routine. And it's 22 steps.
What?
We'll play a little. I'll play a little bit of this for you. When you need to bail out, you can bail out, okay?
I watched the whole 9-minute video.
Jesus. Oh, it's Niall Horan here, and I'm going to take you through my daily skin routine. If I had all the time in the world, you're about to see what I would do. Over the years, as I've grown up, obviously, I went through a lot of breakouts through work, through being on planes all the time, wearing makeup a lot and taking it off every day. And so it's important to keep clean, hydrated, and go through a routine. And as I head into my 30s, I'm trying to keep the baby face for as long as possible. Firstly, always set the tone, have a candle of some sort with me. I love scented candles. First step is mousse into the root with the tips of my fingers, and then we're ready to blow dry. Now it's time for skin. Don't know if it's a myth, don't know if it works, but I've been doing a cold water splash. I heard Lewis Hamilton saying it one time, and Sam Smith, so I thought, well, they look young and fresh, so I'm gonna do that too. Cleansing. This is the Sarah Chapman Ultimate Cleanse. I've been using this for a while. This is my exfoliator. Use this maybe three times a week? Next step, steamer, really important.
Steam?
I try to do this as often as I can. It opens up them pores. And I never wear a robe while I do this, but I just thought it'd be weird if I was stood here naked. Next step, eye masks. First thing.
Okay,
we always
do. Okay,
oh, no, the best part's coming up.
Okay. The biggest 22 steps.
22? Ain't nobody got time for that.
22 steps.
The rent is just too damn high.
Bro, the rent. Yeah.
You're missing the part where he rolls silver balls all over his face.
This is a guy who's definitely hooked up with somebody for the money, right?
Yeah.
Nobody who works hard has time to do 22 steps.
By the way, the exfoliator that he used is $114.
Jesus. Did they put a whole total together for like if you did everything that Niall Horan does?
They
for
didn't. They
routine,
should.
What that would? They should. I need to know that. Because it doesn't
sound cheap. The candle, the exfoliators.
The steamer.
Candles.
The silver balls.
Have you ever thought while you're getting ready, God,
no.
I don't like that candle?
No.
No.
Never. No. And like, listen, we light candles at home and stuff, right?
Sure.
Just around.
The dogs?
Yeah. It's not part of my daily routine.
No.
Right? Like before I get ready for work, the first thing I do is not light a candle.
Right. He turns on a whole steamer like he's blowing steam onto his face.
Yeah, bro, 22 steps. 22 steps. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Shazam! Fury of the Gods hits theaters on Friday. Zachary Levi on with Jimmy Fallon last night talking about, and I had never heard this story before. It's actually quite beautiful how he wound up in the Shazam suit.
I read somewhere that you auditioned for Shazam or for a different role.
So, look, a couple months before I got the job, I was offered an audition for the role of Shazam, but I knew enough about the character of Shazam, Captain Marvel, that he had like an evil twin named Black Adam, and Black Adam was being played by The Rock, and I was like, well, wait, so they're supposed to be twins? Like, there's no way I'm getting this job.
Yeah, I just say, no, I'm not getting this job.
Yeah, totally. And also, unbeknownst to me, I was in kind of a dark place in my life at that point, and then fast forward about a month and a half later, and I'm in this super intensive life-saving therapy, and I learn how to love myself really for the first time in my life, and I have this whole breakthrough. And then, thank you. By the way, go love yourself. If you learn nothing else today, go love yourself, okay? So even though I told my agents, I was like, hey, I'm going to be off grid for a little while. They're like, yeah, totally. Well, 2.5 weeks in, they're like, so listen, there's an audition. It's for a whole other role. It's a supporting role. If you want to do it, cool. If not, that's fine, too. We understand you're doing some healing. I was like, cool. I just had this breakthrough. I'm like, I'll go. whatever, I feel good about myself. I'll go and do. I did one take. I sent it in. And then in the course of basically 1 week, I ended up going from auditioning for this whole other role to them saying, hey, we think you're our Shazam. They flew me to L.A. I had done all my therapy that I needed to do. I go to L.A. I auditioned, and within 1 week, I was Shazam. And it was all, yeah, it was super crazy, man.
Good for you, bud.
Yeah.
Wow, Zachary Levi, I can't believe he'd never told that story before.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Really, it really, too. Really is. The new Shazam movie out tomorrow.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So what's going to happen to BET? That's the big question. So potential buyers as it is right now, Byron Allen, Tyler Perry, and Diddy is the latest. Diddy said it's time for BET to be black owned again. So we have the power to tell our own stories, control our own narrative. He goes on to say, this is not about me, it's about we. Oh,
nice.
Yeah,
I always thought that that Tyler Perry was going to be the one to take over BET.
So, yeah, and it's a whole thing because Paramount will still have some sort of control behind it. And it's not just BET. It's BET, BET Plus, the streaming service, and VH1, right? Mm. So Diddy right now is in the process of building a team of leaders, he says, in the culture to pursue ownership of BET. And although he is exploring opportunities, an insider told The Hollywood Reporter that his deal is still, quote, a long way from the negotiating table. Now, what makes Tyler Perry interesting is that Tyler Perry already has a massive deal in place with Paramount for more than 5 years, which is coming up for renewal. But so much of his stuff already runs on the platform.
Yeah.
And if Paramount still has stake in it, they know that Tyler Perry can produce insane amounts of content very quickly under budget.
It just makes sense. Right?
To me, Tyler Perry makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Totally. And he's going to do great things with that network.
Do you still watch BET, you guys?
I watch it a lot. Matthew loves BET.
Really, huh?
Yeah, he watches all, like, every time they go to commercials, it's all Tyler Perry promos.
Yeah.
For all of his shows.
What does he watch on BET?
Oh, there's, like, a bunch of these Tyler Perry shows that he, like, just dies laughing at watching.
Hmm. What does BET need, Shem?
I think BET needs to sort of stay away from some of the reality shows. They've got some great dramas that are absolutely fantastic, somewhat also very hilarious. But also, BET does something better than I think other networks do, is that they put on award shows better than anybody else, especially music-related ones. The BET Awards and the BET Hip Hop Awards are some of the best award shows, period.
Really?
Honestly, they're great.
Interesting. There you go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Justin Bieber posted a video of himself. He wasn't talking in it or anything like that. It was just like a close-up of his face, and all it read was, wait for it, because, you know, he was getting over Ramsey Hunt syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a shot of his face where he's moving both his eyes back and forth. He's blinking.
Oh, wow.
He's blinking both his eyes. And then at the very end of it, he smiles and both sides of his mouth work.
Oh, so
it looks like he is what you would think would be fully recovered from that, at least the facial paralysis part of it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I cannot wait for this BlackBerry movie.
It looks so good.
It's the story of the sort of rise and fall of BlackBerry, and the director, Matt Johnson, says, this is how he describes it. Remember that phone that everyone used before iPhone? This is how they got started and how they got destroyed.
Oh, no.
Because it was two things. One, it was the iPhone came out, right?
Yeah.
And then also, BlackBerry itself internally was a disaster. And Jay Baruchel is one of the stars of this movie, along with Cary Elwes. And it looks insane. So here's a little bit of BlackBerry.
What can I do for you?
Okay, picture a cell phone and an email machine all in one thing. There is a free wireless internet signal all across North America, and nobody has figured out how to use it. It's like the Force.
Yes.
Sorry, have you seen Star Wars?
No.
That guy is sketchy. I don't think he's sketchy. The guy's a shark.
I know how to market it, and I know who we can sell it to. But I want 50% of the company, and I've got to be CEO.
I don't know who you think you are, but deal.
Are you joking? We are in a race to get this thing to market, and we are a year behind. I need a prototype.
I'll do it perfectly, or I don't do it.
Mike, are you familiar with the saying, perfect is the enemy of good?
Well, good enough is the enemy of humanity. What do you call it?
It's called a BlackBerry.
Huh. Try typing with your thumbs.
Get this baby in the hands of every Fortune 500 executive you can find.
We call them crackberries.
If we put more phones on these networks, they're going to crash.
Is this legal?
You need to sell a million Blackberries.
You guys have no idea how to run a company.
What's happening, man?
I created this entire market. You said they were the best engineers in the world.
I said they're the best engineers in Canada.
Oh, come on! That looks great!
But my God, Carrie always is Jim Balsillie, and Jim Balsillie in this movie comes off like such a douche.
Really?
Like, oh my God, it's awesome.
Oh yeah, man, yeah. Cannot so wait that for is, that.
That's Blackberry.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.